Our next speaker is Paul Hackett.
Well, let's see. I think today I'll stand behind the podium and get out my pen and paper since I hear I've got 2 hours of questions. Thanks very much. Is this for me? Out of order. Well, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to address you. Let me be a little bit formal in my comments and start off by introducing myself. I'm Paul Hackett. I want to serve as your next United States Senator from the great state of Ohio. I'm a son of Ohio. I was born in Cleveland, raised in Cincinnati, educated at Case Western Reserve University, Cleveland State for Law School. I met my wife in Cleveland. We got married in Cleveland. And after I completed my service in the Marine Corps, we moved to Cincinnati, where we started our family and where I built my small business, Hackett Law Offices, a small business with 5 employees. I know firsthand the impact that government has on small businesses. Our ability to create good jobs and to provide benefits for our employees. My small business, however, has blessed me with success. And my father taught me growing up, to whom much is given, much is expected. And it's in this spirit of service, leadership, and commitment that I offer my continued service to this state to serve as your next United States Senator. This is who I am. Here's what I believe in government. I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, fair trade, and a strong national defense. Now, what does this mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means I don't need Washington, D.C. to tell me how to live my personal life. Continue, please. It means I don't need Washington, D.C. to tell me how to live my personal life, worship my God, educate my children, dictate to my wife what decision she makes with her doctor, any more than I need Washington, D.C. to tell me how many guns I get to keep in my gun safe. But what I do need are elected representatives to go to Washington, D.C. and fight for regular Americans and what is great about our country, things such as freedom of speech, freedom of and freedom from religion, freedom from fear, freedom from want, service, commitment, and leadership is what I offer. And by the way, what I believe happens to be lacking in Washington, D.C. If you think that America is on the right track and that we need more of the same, more career politicians, then I'll tell you right now, I'm not your candidate. Now, as many of you know, and as the signs around here show, I have a primary opponent, Sherrod Brown. He told me he wasn't going to run. In fact, he told me he was going to support me. Now he's running. That's life. That's America. Sherrod Brown has been an elected politician since the age of 21. Now he's asking, I'll tell you so, because now he's asking to move from the House side of the Capitol building to the Senate side of the Capitol building. And I ask you, what will he accomplish on the Senate side of the Capitol building that he's been unable to accomplish in the last 14 years on the House side of the Capitol building?
Exactly.
I also ask you, as Ohioans, are we better off today than we were 14 years ago when Mr. Brown first went to Washington, D.C.?
Attack the Republicans, not your fellow Democrats.
That's fine. That's fine. But I'll tell you what I'm offering. I'm offering to lead, serve, and be committed to our country and to fight against the career politicians who have overseen the mismanagement of our country. The mismanagement that has led to a weaker America, where our economy has been exported, where our way of life is being diminished and is under attack, both by enemies abroad and misguided zealots within our own borders. Look, I'm not a career politician. I'm a small businessman. A small businessman with the experience learned and created in the business world. My experience is about building a small business from scratch, creating good jobs, high-paying jobs with benefits that support American families. I want to take that same level of commitment and service to Washington, D.C. to help rebuild our Democratic Party, the same Democratic Party that built America in the 20th century, that today needs to be retooled to meet the challenges and demands of a new century. The party that doesn't simply aspire to deliver greatness, but the party that has the leadership, commitment, and the willing to fight for what makes this country great. Peace, prosperity, and the freedoms that define America. That's what I want to take to heart. I'm Paul Hackett. I believe I am that leader that can do that in Washington, D.C. And I ask you humbly for your support. And I ask you to join our team so that we can take that fight to Washington, D.C. to bring back America, not just for us, but for the next generation, our children. Thank you. By the way, I want to take just a moment to thank Marion and Chris for sponsoring this event today, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Yes, sir.
Hi. Hi. I think here in Ohio we're blessed with two excellent candidates in the United States. People, I know many people up from Brown County originally, and you ran in the second district. You did very well there.
Yes.
Despite,
thank you for your help down there.
The Republican National Committee and everyone else that put a ton of money in.
Yes.
So I think even though people don't always agree with you, they identify with you. I think you speak your mind, you do a very good job at it.
My goodness, are you on my payroll? No, thanks.
But I think you continue that, and I think people will identify with you, in spite of potentially dealing with our own party.
That's all right. This is America. This is what we all fight for. It's what makes us great.
You're going to have a lot of competition. What will you do to stare down the attacks from the Republican National Committee? Everyone's going to be flooded with plenty of money in the street.
You bet. And by the way, for the hecklers, I've got no problem with that. And I will tell you right now, if Sherrod Brown beats me in the primary, I will be out there standing side by side with all the great Democrats in this room to make sure that Sherrod Brown has a chance. But with that said, we got 3 months, and Paul Hackett doesn't like to lose, so we're going to have a good, clean fight on the issues. How's that? Is that fair enough? That's all right.
I think just a word of explanation. Since you had a speech there, I'll just give you another short speech. You didn't get a question there. You won't get one from me. The point is, Sherrod was here. He did not attack you. We like you. We want to like you. We like Sherrod. I think we want to work together and win this election. We just don't want to...
Join my team.
We don't want that mudslinging within our own party. So thank you.
Yes, sir.
As a high school principal in Ohio for 14 years, at what the destruction and what I think is the demise of our public education system. And I think the current administration, No Child Left Behind, has created a Trojan horse. I think it's clearly designed to destroy public schools. It's setting standards. And when I hear people argue to fully fund it, I think it's the absolute worst thing we could do. I'd like to know, when you're in the Senate, the first thing that's going to come up, one of the first things that's going to come up in 2007, is a reauthorization of No Child Left Behind. I'd like to know how you're going to vote on it.
Well, I agree with your concerns, obviously, about No Child Left Behind. And I will tell you this, that we all have, I think, some very valid criticisms of No Child Left Behind. But at the same time, I think if we step back and we take a look at what the goal of No Child Left Behind is, I think generally we can agree that the goal of providing an equitable and accessible education to all American children, an education that will allow them to take themselves as far as their potential will take them, I think we can support that aspect of No Child Left Behind. But I do share your concern with those portions of No Child Left Behind that not only want to come in and tell you, the principal, how to run his school or her school. We've got to step back from that, and we have got to allow schools and administrators in those schools run their schools as they best know how, because probably in Southern Ohio, the education system has different demands than the education system in New York City, and so on and so forth. But yet today, we have these onerous mandates laid down from Washington, D.C., that don't really understand and really don't help. So to really answer your question, not to dodge it, I would like to see exactly what the proposal is. If it's just more money to do more of the same, I'm not an advocate of that. But if there are changes that have been made to the No Child Left Behind, moving in a direction of improvement, I certainly would like to take a look at those and would support those positive changes, as long as they have the, some of the approval and some input from the many school teachers, not only in Ohio, but throughout the United States. And that's probably, as I understand it, one of the biggest problems in formulating the legislation of No Child Left Behind, is there was not a whole lot of input from, if you will, the folks out in the front lines of our education system. But thank you for the question. Yes, ma'am. Besides a better spending policy for our military, I can't think of a better way. Yeah, that would be it. We would start revamping our American military so that 40% of our current tax receipts are better spent, more wisely spent. Think about the impact that has on our government. Probably the next piece of legislation I'd start looking at would be our tax code, because our tax code is abysmal these days, and right now probably most of us in the room are receiving the short end of the stick on that, and our country continues to suffer because of that. Yes, sir.
The Beltway is really crowded, and the traffic jams are horrible around the National Institute of Health in Washington. It really needs to be moved to Ohio. I think the National Heart and Lung and Blood Institute really needs to be moved to Cleveland. The National Cancer Institute needs to be moved to Dayton. The brand new Congressman Lewis Stokes building at the National Institute.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. In fact, I'm going to hire you to be my legislative assistant on all of those pieces of legislation. Yes, ma'am.
I'm a senior in college, and I have about...
At Kent State, I would guess, right?
Yes. I have about $45,000 in student loans right now. And there's no guarantee that I'll get a great interest rate. And the Congress has cut student loans again. How do you plan on helping colleges and working with college?
Well, I see that as an example of how we, and I include myself in this group, have been sold out by our representatives in Washington, D.C., when our taxes continue to be directed away from students who want to be educated and want to receive education, higher education, and go to fund giveaways to large corporations. So I think probably first and foremost, we have to start sounding off and making sure that things like Pell Grants have their funding removed, which is, I think, what you're referring to, particularly in the last couple of years where Pell Grants have reduced funding. And just recently, I think last week, they're going to increase the interest rate on student loans, I believe, beginning next year, moving it up into the neighborhood of 8.5%. So this is not the right direction, and it's not, as a country, what we should be doing, obviously. Yes, ma'am, with the wonderful Ted Strickland sticker there. Yes, right there. Yes, ma'am, Pike County. Yes, ma'am.
We hope that you come down to Bristol Village there to speak. We're looking forward to retirement.
Yes, ma'am, I'll try to get back there.
Okay.
That was an easy question. Thank you. Next question.
that was my statement.
Okay.
Nuclear energy. What are we going to do? I mean, there's a lot of people who are pushing that. Are you one that's for that? Because what do we do with all the waste that's created from creating this non-polluting energy?
Ma'am, I'm running for United States Senate. I'm trying to represent you. As far as being a nuclear scientist, at this point in my illustrious career, I would be happy to look at those issues, and I definitely share your concern on where they're going to park that nuclear waste. My understanding is there's some new technology that offers the hope that if we as a country build a consensus to move towards nuclear energy to answer our energy requirements, there is some new technology that will diminish that waste. If that seems to work and we can all feel confident in that, you know, fine. At this point, you know, we'll see where we go.
It doesn't seem like there's anything in that case to fight the waste yet that I've heard of out there. And we've got more nuclear energy plants even down in Southern Ohio.
Sure. What do you think we should do? And I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
And this has been going on since the 60s, is we have to find alternative fuels. They talked about fuel cells, magnets, other ways that we could use different types of energy to get around. And if we took the next 10 years, like John Kennedy said, we're going to the moon, and somebody said, in the next 10 years, we are going to change the energy the way we use it here in the United States. I think we could do it here in the United States.
Right on. Young man.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest problems for the Democrats is that in an electoral sense, even though this isn't true, we're perceived as weaker on national security. And in this era, there's just a lot of voters in the suburbs and the exurbs who are just not going to vote for us no matter what else is true. How do you plan, should we give you the nomination, how do you plan to explode that myth and show that we are, in fact, stronger on national security?
Well, you highlight a very good point. Karl Rove, where was it, 2 or 3 weeks ago, laid out his strategy for defeating Democrats in 2006, where he said he will defeat us based on our perceived inability to defend America. And I will just simply tell you and everybody in this audience that I'm certainly not going to stand by and let anybody question my service and commitment defending this country. Yes, sir.
An issue for myself and a lot of other progressives and Democrats I've spoken with is the fact that we have, on a somewhat daily basis, been seeing scandal after scandal after scandal, and it doesn't seem like anyone is standing up and holding on to these things and saying, hey, let's see this through and let's prosecute, let's do what needs to be done. And yes, I'm specifically talking about the Republicans.
Yeah.
And after this election, we're going to have, God
hopefully
give us, we're going to have 2 more years of Bush, unless something happens.
I thought you were going to say after this election we were going to have control of Congress.
Well,
in which case, we'll get something done.
What will you do to hold their feet to the fire and to make sure that these scandals just don't mysteriously disappear like they seem to be doing now?
I will continue to shed light on the mismanagement, the corruption led by the Republican Party, as I've done for my illustrious 10-month career in politics. Yes, ma'am. I'll get to you in a moment.
I like the fact that you're a small business owner. Talk to us more about that.
Well, the first thing I think of as a small business owner is I sure don't get the same benefits as mega corporations, as Walmart. And I think that's a raw deal because the vast majority of jobs in America are created by small businesses, of which I'm one and perhaps you are one. And I think that we need to cultivate that. We need to support small businesses because ultimately we drive the economy and we provide stability to the economy. So I'd like to see that some of these mega benefits, some of them get directed in some small way to those of us who are small businesses. I mean, I'm personally not asking for that, but I think that we should get the same fair shake, not only as just individuals, but as small businessmen and women, certainly as the large corporations do, and we don't. I don't think that's right. Sir, I promise you. Now, last question.
And I appreciate that. I'm a military veteran. I'm a West Point graduate. A lot of my brothers and sisters in arms are still serving in Iraq, and I know that it's somewhat that it's a divided issue amongst our countries. As a potential U.S. senator, how would you handle our current conduct of the war?
What aspect?
Any aspect. I'll let you answer. I'll throw you the softball pitch, and you go out there and hit it.
Bring him home.